More than a million people calling for immigration reform hit the streets a year ago, and this May Day they're taking to the streets again, except this time it's likely to be hundreds of thousands. Some people say the lower turnout is due to fear after immigration raids. Others say there's just no way to match the energy of a once-in-a-lifetime event last year. But writer Gustavo Arellano has another explanation. He argues that this year's marches are smaller because last year's marches succeeded. In an op-ed in today's Los Angeles Times, he writes that marches are as indispensable right now as Alberto Gonzalez. So why is the turnout down? How far has immigration reform come in a year? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Gustavo Arellano is a contributing editor to the Los Angeles Times opinion page. He joins us now from his office in Santa Ana, California. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
And at first glance, a skeptic might look at your argument and suggest you're trying to cover some disappointment by spinning.
No, not at all. It's not spinning at all. Last year, the marches were just amazing. You're never really going to approach something like that. And there was a tangible result. The Sensenbrenner bill, which sought to felonize anyone who helped out illegal immigrants, quickly died. Now in Congress, in Washington, you're having talk of some type of amnesty, whereas a year ago, there was none of that talk whatsoever. I consider that a success, and a lot of Latinos do, so there's not so much of an urgency to fight for something like that. Now we know we're on the right path. Now, I think the next thing is, where is the path going to lead?
But if a million turned out last year, just picking a number out of a hat, wouldn't 2 million this year be better?
Of course, it would always be better. But again, there's not so much of an urgency. There's not a boogeyman to fight as there was with James Sensenbrenner. Now there's people in Congress who are willing to advocate bipartisan help from Luis Gutierrez and in Illinois and Jeff Flake in Arizona. They have a bill that has some type of amnesty. And with friends in Congress, I think the next step for Latinos or, you know, illegal immigrants and their advocates is to really petition Congress to, you know, do it the old-fashioned American way. Just write to your congressman. Marches can only do so much.
But as you know, some people suggest the immigration raids have scared some people away.
I wouldn't give so much weight to that. It has scared people away. But again, most of those raids, they were just very small, and the United States government isn't so foolish as to conduct these mass raids and get hundreds of thousands of people off of the streets immediately. It would never do that. President Bush himself has said, there's no way I'm going to do that. So I think, you know, talking about fear, it's really just an excuse to excuse why the numbers are so small.
Mm-hmm. As you look at the proposals for immigration reform, and you're right, Congressman Sensenbrenner's proposal is off the table, but nevertheless, it doesn't seem that these proposals are going anywhere fast. And as you point out, there are plenty of critics of these proposals as unworkable. I think Howard Dean, the chairman of the Democratic Party, called them insane today.
Yeah, again, in Congress, it's a completely different ballgame there. And at least though, there is some talk of amnesty. And of course, there's guest worker programs, and people can criticize all aspects of it. Ultimately, no one's going to be happy. But what you do have is a Democratic leadership that does want some type of amnesty. And you have a Republican president, George W. Bush, who is open to, is more sympathetic to those sort of ideas than most of his Republican, the other congressmen and senators in the House that are Republican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of them are, Mr. Tancredo, for example, is also running for president, presumably to push this immigration issue about which he feels very strongly.
Yes, absolutely. Tancredo, and there's other, you know, a lot of people from where I'm out here, Orange County, California. There are people who have really loud mouths, and I really do believe that they're in the minority ultimately. They get the most attention because they're the biggest loud mouths, and they'll say the most outlandish things about illegal immigration, how there's going to be a reconquista of the Southwest United States. But ultimately, I think saner heads will prevail, and they'll come to the reality, or really to the necessity of fixing this once and for all, or, you know, and one of the things to fix that would be to grant some type of amnesty.
Some type of amnesty. The I think specifically what Howard Dean was talking about was the idea that Latinos had to return to their home countries before they would become eligible to get on the path for citizenship.
Exactly. I don't agree with that idea, too. I think it's infeasible, and I don't think most Latinos will leave for that. But again, that's a start. A year ago, we were talking about deporting everyone. We're talking about about making anyone who helped illegal immigrants a felon, now we at least have some type of idea, even though it might not be the best of ideas. Mm. You can't change things overnight. You have to start somewhere, and now we're at a start.
We're speaking with Gustavo Arellano, who wrote an op-ed in today's Los Angeles Times, saying today's marches are smaller because of the success of last year's much bigger marches. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's talk with Patricia. Patricia calling us from Grand Rapids in Michigan.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I'm Sadie. Okay. I think that this is more likely an evidence that there is a defeat of the amnesty effort and the enthusiasm of the Latinos for the amnesty idea. We have to have government under law. Citizens of the United States are not granted amnesty, nor should non-citizens be automatically granted amnesty. This is going to undermine our whole standard and value of government under law.
To be fair, Patricia, people have been granted amnesty under these conditions before, most recently under President Reagan's regime.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. We've also gone to war on something that wasn't legitimate. You don't legitimize something that is illegal. If you want to change a law, you have to at least give equivalency to your citizens.
Gustavo Arellano, there is certainly a continuing debate over the wisdom of amnesty.
Absolutely. The best response I could give to that is the story of my father. My father himself was an illegal immigrant. He came to this country in the trunk of a Chevy in 1968. He ended up becoming a citizen. And, you know, his family, myself and my three siblings, we all went to college. We're all success stories. And that came from a former illegal immigrant. I do think there has to be some sense of order at the border. I happen to believe that the best way to do that is really allow more immigration to this country and really cut down on that of illegal immigration. But again, you need to give people the chance to be able to come into this country.
Patricia, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you. I would say why.
I think the United States wants successful people like my father, who was an illegal immigrant. Why wouldn't we want to have
people
who want to work
all over the world like that?
Absolutely.
Why can't we have a policy that gives the same chance to everybody?
I agree with that, too. I think everyone should have the same chance.
Patricia, thanks very much. Let's talk now with, this is Alyssa, if I hope I'm getting that right, in San Francisco.
It's actually Alisa.
Alisa, I apologize. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I was calling because I actually think that the lower numbers reflect, at least in this area, a lot of fear. The ICE raids all over the Bay Area have frightened the community, made people afraid to take the bus, afraid to send their children to school. So with all respect to your speaker, I just think that you can't diminish the effect that those raids had. I also think that the immigration bills that are out there right now are hugely lacking. It's very frustrating to me that people call this an automatic amnesty when what they don't recognize is that we have a law that says if you've been here without permission, you can't come back. You have to file a special waiver, which are very hard to get. And so very few people would qualify. It seems to me that most of the bills that are being proposed are pretty much lip service rather than something that's going to actually serve people.
Gustavo Arellano?
Yeah, again, I agree. I don't agree with Flake and Gutierrez's bill, but again, it's a start. We have to start somewhere, and then it's going to be debated a lot through Congress and, you know, through Congress, and then hopefully somebody, they'll come to a better compromise. They'll come to some type of amnesty. I also think, though, that we have to be realistic, and there will have to be penalties for illegal immigrants. I don't think Congress will give a blanket amnesty where you don't have to pay any back taxes, you don't have to pay a penalty or whatever. I think there has to be something about that. I don't know what would be the best way to do that. I'll leave that to the politicians. And then as for the raid, no, I agree with you. I do think there is some element of fear in that. I don't think it's as big, though, as some people are stating it to be. Again, the raids that have happened, it's been targeted specifically for businesses, for people where they had the information that there were illegal immigrants there. When you're out hundreds of thousands of people on the street, you're not really going to be able to conduct these mass raids. It would be utter chaos, and the United States would suffer a huge, it would be very embarrassed in the eyes of the world.
Mm-hmm. Last year, I think at some of the marches, people wore T-shirts saying, "I'm illegal, so what?"
I would say that too. Illegal, that's the ones in Spanish. Yeah. So if people, again, people wear that because they understand that the United States is not going to do such a public raid and private or, you know, surprise raid, sure, but such a public raid, the United States is smart, or the government and the ICE, you know, ICE department, they're smarter than that.
Hmm. Well, I don't know that I would actually agree. I don't think that they would attack, make arrests at a march, but they might make arrests afterwards, go to people's workplaces like they've been doing out here, going to schools, doing things that really have outraged the public here and made people very frightened. Also, I think it's really important in terms of this debate not to use the word illegal immigrant, but rather undocumented.
I don't agree with that. I agree undocumented worker. That would be the nicer term. But again, when it comes to words, they're so loaded with them, and you shouldn't be embarrassed. My dad was an illegal immigrant, and I'm proud of it because people will try to think that illegal immigrants are somehow evil, and they're not at all. We shouldn't really use that word or think of that word as a shameful word. Just appropriate it, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this society, the word illegal does carry negative connotations. It's unfair to attach that to people who are here just trying to get a better life for their families or for asylum purposes.
No one denies that people are here, the vast majority, looking for better lives for their families, but they did break the law by entering the country illegally.
But we break the law running speeding all the time. We don't call our citizens illegal drivers.
We could call them that when they're caught. Yes, we do.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I say they're called that when they're caught by the police.
That's true.
Yes.
But the percentage of people who speed a little bit over the speeding posted level. Sorry, I'm driving at the same time.
Okay, well, be careful.
Yeah, being an illegal driver there.
Okay. Alisa, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Gustavo Arellano, who wrote an op-ed in today's Los Angeles Times. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Berenice in San Antonio. And again, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. How come Mr. Arellano say the fight is almost over? There have been numerous raids in businesses and homes this past year. Families have been separated. The new proposal in Washington on immigration reform is uber conservative. It expects individuals to pay a fine of $10,000 in order to reenter the country legally and be put on a path to citizenship. I don't think Mr. Arellano should speak for millions of undocumented people in this country. As an illegal immigrant who's been here 17 years since the age of 6, believe me, La lucha is not over, and until there's comprehensive, compassionate, and fair reform, it will not be.
I think that, again, we're at a start. Things cannot happen overnight. It has to be at a start. And the fact that we are having this dialogue of a proposal for some type of amnesty, even though right now it involves penalties, that's a start. And, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But I do think we see the light at the end of the tunnel at this point.
You said also in your piece that last year's marches stirred something in Latino youth that you hadn't seen before.
Absolutely. And here in the United States, a lot of our youth, they tend to be apathetic. They'd rather play PlayStation or watch the Dodgers or Lakers play. But now with the walkouts, which I don't agree with the walkouts, but at the very least, Latino youth, they see something happening in their community, and they also see the power of being engaged in politics, what they can do with it. So my hope, what happened last year, and to a smaller extent, this year, students walked out in to support their families, to support some of themselves who are illegal immigrants. My hope then is that these students will then try to attack the problems in their schools, in their communities, the ones that they, you know, in that case would take a march to city hall or to the school district's offices.
I think you used your brother as one example of them.
Yeah, my brother, God bless him, you know, he's just a slacker sophomore in high school. He read a story in the local newspaper here about how in the same school district, his school, which is Latino heavy, has been waiting for improvements for years. A wealthier school in the same district just got a multimillion-dollar performing arts center. Really, do students need a multimillion-dollar performing arts center when their classes are crumbling in the same district? Give me a break. Mm. My brother's outraged. Now his friends are getting outraged. And this really wouldn't have happened without a type of political awakening last year with the marches.
And I just going back to the idea that this year is not a disappointment, would not that awakening blossom even more if twice the number had turned out?
True. It's very true. The marches are still going on. And again, I would hope that the people who are out there, they're in school because they want to learn more about what's going on. They're going to march later on. In fact, a lot of the marches that are scheduled today, they're not boycotting anything. They're not going after school.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we have to realize is when you have such a monumental march, it probably is not going to happen again. When you had the march on Washington, all marches after that, for the most part, were smaller, but we didn't call them disappointments. That one monumental march, it served its purpose. It seared itself into the movement, seared itself into the American consciousness, and then from there, the legwork started going. That's the same thing that's happening right now.
Do you think this movement, La Lucha, as you call it, has been rather disparate? There's no recognized leadership as there was certainly under Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Not yet. I think, unfortunately, one of the problems, a leader hasn't emerged, because there's been a lot of bickering amongst those leaders, at least on the local level out here in Los Angeles, in Phoenix, and so forth. So there's a lot of bickering, and so I guess the Latino community is in some ways waiting for a Cesar Chavez, a figurehead leader. But at the same time, if you don't have, I don't think there's a problem if there isn't a leader. Without a main figurehead last year, they were able to accomplish that massive march, and now's the next step.
And briefly, what do you think today's marches will accomplish?
I think, again, it just brings back the immigration debate into the forefront, into the national center. We could get away from our Britney Spears and all that and really talk about a pressing issue that this country needs to face. What are we going to do with the illegal immigrants in this country, and what's going to be the future of the United States because of it?
Gustavo Arellano, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Gustavo Arellano, contributing editor to the Los Angeles Times opinion page, also author of Ask a Mexican. He's been speaking with us from his office in Santa Ana, California. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.